Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello everyone, Andy here, and here's what you can look forward to in today's episode.
In today's episode, I was joined by Eagles fan Steve McGuinness as we preview week 10 of the 2025 NFL season. I put one team on forward watch.
They played one good team this year in the first 9 weeks.
Steve predicts which team he thinks will be the biggest blowout of the week.
And I can see it by quite a significant amount. This could be one of the blowouts of the week.
And much more as we predict each game winner in Andy versus the guest. Hope you all enjoy.
Hello and welcome back to the Across the Pod NFL podcast. I am, as ever, your host today, Andy Davis, or should I say Will Common, as I am currently in Berlin prior to tomorrow's game between the Colts and the Falcons at the Olympia Stadium. And of course, those of you who follow socials would have seen that yesterday I got to attend the Colts practice session in Berlin and got to interview the likes of Shane Steichen, Jonathan Taylor, Daniel Jones, and also Cam Bynum. But we are on to know for this week 10 preview. I've got a returning guest. Back on the show is our resident Eagles fan, Steve McGuinness. Steve, how are you? How are things?
Pretty good. You know, it's one of those where you go a week without football because your team's in a bye week. You're just itching to get back to that that 6 p.m. on a Sunday. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this weekend.
Well, you mentioned then about a bye week. Of course, there are multiple teams this week on a bye week. This is the Chiefs, the Titans, the Cowboys and the Bengals. And, of course, we had our Week 9 preview a week ago where I brought on Ravens fan Shane Harris in Andy versus the Guest. Let's find out the results of what happened in Andy versus the Guest last week. So, in the end, me and Shane went for two different scoreline predictions, different to the rest. We both went for wins for the likes of the Ravens, the Lions, Chargers, Patriots and Broncos, got some wins there. But we also both predicted wins for the Colts and the Packers, who both lost in shock fashion. But there were two scorelines which we predicted differently, which ultimately changed the outcome of Andy versus the Guest in Week 9. And two games that could have gone completely different ways, as I went for a win for the Bears over the Bengals, and Shane went for the Bengals to win. And I went for a win for the Jags over the Raiders, whereas Shane went for the Raiders. In the end, two games that were so topsy-turvy in Week 9 ended up costing Shane in Andy versus the Guest. And this means now that it was a 11-9 win for myself. So now it means it is currently 5-3 for me against the Guest. Steve, you've got the pressure now, the title of trying to claw back this deficit in Andy versus the Guest and trying to make it a one-week difference.
Yeah, I'm good with that. So we always have the preseason predictions, and I'm pretty good on those. I think we're pretty much neck and neck in terms of, you know, you winning, me winning. So I think I might have a slight edge on this week because I can see, I have this feeling you're going to go with your you have a certain bias towards certain teams, which, you know, isn't based in reality. So I'm hopeful that you'll bring that to this week's competition.
Well, I kind of know what you're alluding to, and it is, you know, it's a reason why that I think I'm not going to win this year's predictions. You know, there's two predictions in particular I made, one involving the AFC South and one involving the AFC East, that I might look back and regret come the end of the season. I think I will come back and regret, certainly, even though I think one of those teams are slight pretenders in the NFL. But yes, we'll start off. Obviously, we are recording this after the start of week 10. So we were looking, you know, we have missed the Broncos against Raiders game, but we've got the rest to look at as we try and predict. It starts off with the Germany game, which, of course, I mentioned at the start of the show that I did actually attend the Colts practice. Didn't get to attend the Falcons because I was mid-air as that was going on. But I did get to speak to, you know, a few people along the way. I mentioned it before as well. Let's bring you quickly the likes of my chat with Jonathan Taylor, who I kind of asked about his MVP season so far. People are calling him a contender, and I asked him sort of for his opinion on whether he thinks he is a contender or whether he looks at games on a week-on-week basis. Let's go on to the game itself. Of course, this is a game for running backs. If you like running backs, this is the game for you. We've got Jonathan Taylor, who has 12 rushing touchdowns this year, lead the league in both rushing touchdowns and rushing yards, against Bijan Robinson, who is, for me, again, has been excellent this year. I think he's been established himself this year, I think, especially as one of the best in the league. I think the Colts are slight pretenders. I don't think they're maybe as good as the 7-2. I think, for me, they're the Vikings of last year. You know, quarterback comes out of nowhere, surprises everyone with a good season. But I think come week 17, week 18 and the playoffs, I think we might see the old Daniel Jones we saw in New York, personally. Apart from one that maybe won against the Vikings at one time. But I just don't know whether their team is going to go far in the playoffs. But in terms of this game, the Falcons are never a team I hate betting on. I hate predicting on because they're so unpredictable. Nothing defines that more than losing to the Panthers 30-0 and then beating the Bills. So the Falcons are hard to predict. They're so unpredictable. Just they have been ever since I've watched the sport. But I'm going to go for the Colts win. I think they'll want to bounce back from that loss against the Steelers. Again, that was, even with the loss, still only a 7-point game. So I'm going to give the Colts the edge. Steve, who are you predicting to win this game?
Yeah, I'm giving the Colts this win. I disagree with you in that I don't think they're contenders. I think what Jones has done is freed from that kind of New York headlock he's been in with, you know, terrible coaching and terrible O-line. And suddenly behind the O-line, they can protect him long enough to find his targets. He's elevated the likes of Michael Pittman and Alec Pierce, who we've talked about over the years as having very much underperformed since they were drafted. Guys who in college were absolute standouts and we thought were going to be really setting the league alight. And when you've suddenly got a working passing game, it frees up the lanes for the likes of Jonathan Taylor, who, as you said, is having a fantastic season. I don't like the Falcons. I like the talent they've got. I think in Robinson and London, they have two of the best players in the league offensively. But I also think in Penix, they have a very weak quarterback. And I don't see anything else in that team that really makes me think they're standouts. Kyle Pitts has been a disappointment year on year, and I haven't seen anything from him this year that makes him any better. So, yep, definitely a Colts win for me, probably by at least 10 points.
Well, next up is a game in Soldier Field as the Bears take on the Giants. I actually know a Colts fan who's from Indianapolis who I met in Indy back in 2022, who is a Colts fan, a season ticket holder, who is going to this game because the Colts are in Germany. So that should be, his say, hopefully a good game. And shout out to Michael if you are listening to the show. But I think against... actually, I'll go to you first, Steve, actually. Who are you predicting to win this game? You're on mute, Steve.
Sorry, which game are we talking about? The
Bears-Giants.
Bears-Giants. When we did preseason predictions, I said that the Giants were the worst team in football, and I predicted them to get the number one pick. Honestly, the only talent they had in that team was Malik Nabers and Cam Skiapu, both of whom are now injured and done for the season. Jackson Dart is a massive upgrade for them at quarterback, but there is really nothing else in that team. The quarterback they've got, I want to say Ty Johnson, who they came in as a rookie this season. Good connection with Dart. But beyond that, there's really nothing on that offense. Wandale Robinson is very average. The Bears are showing this season they can score. And last season we kind of had those discussions as to where the points were going to come from. They seem to have gone all in the offense, but not all in the offensive line. They've fixed those issues. The score last week, like 40-plus points, you know, and Colson Loveland finally breaking out. Kel Monningai really, really running around at running back, where we hoped he would this season after DeAndre Swift went out. DJ Moore picking up really key passes. Roma Dunsey looking like the guy that they drafted two seasons ago. This is a Bears win for me every all day.
I totally agree. I mean, if the Giants had Scatterboo and Malik Nabers, you think maybe they're, you know, a bit more of a challenge. I mean, Brian Burns has got like 11 sacks this year, so they've got some good players on that defense. So I think if you had Scatterboo there and you had Malik Nabers there, both of them, you know, playing how they were before the injuries, I think this is a much closer game. And I think, you know, the Bears proved it last week, and they proved it against the Vikings week one, that the Bears are the Bears, and the Bears do find ways, a bit like the Falcons, they find ways to lose games. And they found a way to lose the game against the Bengals, but the Bengals found a way to lose even more than the Giants did. So even more than the Bears did. So I'm going to give the Bears the win. I think, you know, we saw some really good trick plays from the Bears as well, that we're starting to see a bit more of the Ben Johnson Lions offense in this Bears offense. And I think, I'm going for the Bears to win as well, for pretty much the same reasons that you gave, Steve. So I'm going to go for the win there.
Just finding the Bears there. And I mean, I love the fact that they're 5-3 in that division, because that division to me is the most competitive in football this season. It's four teams who could all easily make the playoffs on their day if they didn't have to play each other like twice a season. I didn't do this in the early season, in the preseason predictions, but I am going to stick my neck out, and I know our mutual friend Luke is going to appreciate this. I am going to take the Bears to make a wild card.
It's not that outward of a pick. I mean, I was talking about this recently, about I kind of think there's only one team making the NFC South. I don't see the Falcons making it. I think the NFC East is the same thing. I see only the Eagles making the playoffs. But I think then you've got the NFC West and you've got the NFC North, and you've got three teams there with five more wins. I think really it's going to be battled off out of those four teams that don't win the NFC North and NFC West, who has a better record. I think the Seahawks, Rams, Niners, the Lions, Bears and Packers are all worthy of getting to the playoffs, but only some of them can make it. Only, you know, two division winners.
Did you just dismiss the...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Vikings.
No, the Vikings. I said the Vikings.
No, you said Packers. No. All four of those teams in that division can make it. All four of them.
I just think... I just don't know. I like McCarthy a lot. I'm a big fan of his, but I just think I don't know whether the 3-5 before that win against was it 2-5 before the week win against the Lions. I don't think personally that I like McCarthy, but I just don't think he's playing well enough yet to make the playoffs. I think next season is one that I think they can, you know, make the playoffs from, and I think that he's certainly a quarterback to look out for, especially if they become last and they get an easier schedule next season. But I just think against the Packers, Lions and Bears, they got no chance of making the playoffs, personally. And I think as well, not even they could win 9-10 games and still not make the playoffs. It's testament to how good the Seahawks are, the Rams are, the Niners are. I just think that to make the playoffs as a division winner, there's next to no chance. I think as a wildcard team, It's hard for them because they got so many good teams. I think the NFC is a way better conference right now than the AFC, which we weren't saying about 2 years ago. But I think the teams are so much more stronger than the NFC. I think it'd be so much harder to make the playoffs right now if you're an NFC team than maybe if you're an AFC team. But moving on to our next game, which involves my team, the Dolphins, as we host the Buffalo Bills. Now, I would love to sit here and say it's a trap game. We're at home. We're going to beat the Bills. Bills have these games where they lose unexpectedly, but I just don't see a way. Now, we got rid of Phillips as well. Even though he was a bit injury hit, I do think, you know, he's a big miss. Still kept everyone else. I was worried we were going to trade Waddle. We kept Chubb, although I think we might have maybe benefited from trading him because of his age and his contract. I see no way. I think, you know, we came close in Buffalo, to be fair, and we, you know, we could have easily won that game if, you know, if certain things went different ways. But I just think right now the team is, you know, at an all-time low, not an all-time low, but at a significant low, certainly one of the worst I've seen as being a fan. And I think there are some positives. Achain will have to be a star, I think, you know, in this game for them to win. And Waddle will have to catch Allen on a bad day. And that could happen easily. There's definitely, I wouldn't be, you know, stunned if we win this game because it's a division game and we're at home. But personally, no, I think this is the Buffalo Bills win for me.
I can't argue with you there. I you know, I feel like kicking a man when he's down, but it's like your team right now is the Simpsons meme, which is, this is the worst Dolphins team I've ever seen. No, it's the worst Dolphins team you've ever seen so far. I think the decision to get rid of Chris Greer but retain Mike McDaniel says that the ownership are all in on the tank. And I think there's the belief there that let's just be as bad as we can for the remainder of the season and see how high up we can get in terms of the picks. Because there are some very bad teams in the league this year. The only chance you have this week is if the Bills come in, having had that win against the Chiefs, and say, that's us, we've peaked, that's the hardest team we're going to play this season. Look at what we did, we beat the Chiefs again in regular season before we lose them in the playoffs. And they come in overconfident. But I can't really see that. Sean McVay doesn't tend to let his teams get like that. Josh Allen isn't that type of quarterback. So I'm in agreement with you. This, I know it's divisional, and I know those matches tend to be a little tighter, but not this one. This is a Bills win all day.
You mentioned about that Bills getting overconfident. I think there definitely was the element of that in that wild card game where Skylar Thompson played rather than Tua. I think there's definitely an element in that game where they probably looked at it going, we're playing the Dolphins backup quarterback. We're going to win this easily. And they started off the game, honestly, they were 14-0 up, I want to say, in that game. So they certainly scored the first touchdown of the game. And, you know, maybe there is that complacency. Because you see it all the time. It's like, you know, I think Liverpool were definitely guilty of this in years gone by, where we'd beat City or beat Man United and then we'd lose to, like, Fulham or Bournemouth the following week. So I think yeah, that is a way we can get to them. And, you know, we've got to them before, but if I'm honest, Josh Allen has lost two games in his whole career against Dolphins, and one of them was as a rookie. So, yeah, no, I think he's got a number. He's won. If you can win in Week 18 in Miami, an important game to win a division, you can certainly win in Week 11 or Week 10 away to your biggest rivals.
It doesn't help that your entire secondary seems to be injured at the moment. You've got both your safeties questionable for this week, and Rasul Douglas is doubtful. You know, if you're going in there with a second choice secondary against Josh Allen, you're in real trouble.
I agree. Next up is in Minnesota, US Bank Stadium, as the Vikings host the Ravens. Steve, who wins this for you?
Oh, now, if you'd asked me this question 2-3 weeks ago, without Lamar Jackson playing, and with the Ravens just being awful, this wouldn't even have been a contest. You said earlier you're not a big fan of JJ McCarthy. Neither am I. I don't think he's that guy. I don't think he's shown us yet that he's that guy. He very much looks like a work in progress. But the problem is, he has some amazing weapons. You know, he has Justin Jefferson. He has TJ Hawkinson. He has Jordan Addison. And in any game, he can just say, you know what, I'm just going to put it up there and let them fight for it, let them run for it, you know, and they can save his ass. I think Aaron Jones is back fit this week after being kind of just getting back in time for the game last week. He's had a full week of practice. That gives me a really strong Minnesota offense. But the Ravens are back. The Ravens had that horrific start to the season, and now they just look like they're coming good. Lamar coming back builds the team. I do still think at wide receiver they are problematic. I'm not a big fan of Zay Flowers. He's their guy. He's their number one. But every week, week in, week out, when it comes down to it, he just seems to let them down. But so this will be down to whether or not Derrick Henry shows up. Is it Derrick Henry from week 1-4, or is it Derrick Henry from week 7 onwards? If that Derrick Henry shows up, then the Ravens have got a real chance here. But it is at home. It is Minnesota. They did beat the Lions last week, so I think their confidence is up. So I can see the Vikings winning this one.
Interesting. Now, I might have missaid it earlier, but actually, I'm a big fan of McCarthy. I do think he'll be good. I just don't think he'll be good necessarily this season. I think there'll be some teething problems. But I do have the Ravens winning this. I just think that the Ravens, for me, they were awful in that first half against the Dolphins. They were, I think they had 4 first downs in the entire first half and only allowed 25 yards from Derrick Henry. You know, the Dolphins, who have been really bad this year, gave them a tough game. But then second half, we allow them just to completely dominate. And I think that that's the kind of performance that's going to, you know, that a team will need if they're trying to get back into form and, you know, and getting quarterback back from injury, especially with that. You know, they're going to be a team, I think right now it's going to be hot. They've had an extra 3 days rest on the Vikings as well, which I think does make a difference. And I think this Vikings defense is great at blitzing, but kind of worst callback you want to play when you're blitzing is a guy who can rush like Lamar Jackson can. He'll even hand it off to Derrick Henry. So I do think the Ravens win, and I do think they're very much still have a chance of winning the AFC North with how good easy their schedule is compared to the Steelers' schedule. So I'm going to give the Ravens a win in both in Minnesota, and I think this will be a statement win that's going to remind everyone just what this Ravens team can do. But next up is the opposite end of the spectrum with what arguably could be the Tank Bowl, it could be called, the game that might decide the number one overall pick, potentially. It's the Cleveland Browns taking on the New York Jets. Now, this is going to be a New York Jets home game, but I'm going to give it to the Browns. We've seen the Jets completely sell house. We've seen Quinn and Williams be traded away. Obviously, Sauce Gardner, the big one, he'll be playing in Germany on Sunday. One of the very few players that have played multiple international games in the same season for different teams. But I just think the difference for me, because I think both offenses are struggling, I think it's the defense. And I think that Browns defense is really good. And I think they're going to give Justin Fields a horrendous time. Or if he gets taken out, Tyrod Taylor, whoever plays the quarterback, is going to struggle massively against his Browns defense. And Myles Garrett is going to have, you know, we had, what, a 5-sack performance in the game they lost against a team that's 7-2. I think, personally, this Browns team is, the defense is their biggest asset, and I think that's going to be the key in this game. The Browns, for me, to win this game at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, I agree most of your points on that. You and I got the privilege to watch that Broncos-Jets game at Tottenham, which was arguably one of the worst games I've ever seen in person. But, you know, the Broncos then having that game on Thursday against the Raiders, they just seem to be like the kings of terrible games of football. And I saw that Jets team and I saw that Jets offense, and I was just amazed at the complete waste of talent that's there. Breece Hall, he must have been wishing that they did trade him. And I know the refs made to trade him, they just couldn't get the price they wanted, but there's a guy who's like, his career's dead because he's stuck at an absolutely dead-end franchise. I completely agree that the Browns defense is, for me, one of the top three in the league. Myles Garrett's terrifying. When we did preseason, I did predict him as both the defensive player of the year and the Browns probably to be close to getting the first pick. And you know what? Both those statements could still be accurate. I love that defense. It stiffs the run amazingly well. The secondary is solid. Their pass rush is incredible. That Jets offense, when we saw the game in London, Justin Fields, was it through for like -4 yards? First time that's ever happened. And there's nothing about that Jets offense that looks like it can score more than 10, 14 points. And most of them will be field goals. So, yeah, I completely agree this is a Browns win. I don't think they have to have a great offensive performance. I just think they have to be functional. Just as simple as that.
I agree. I think we saw Dylan Gabriel, certainly in that London game, show he has got something about him. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer or an MVP, but I think he showed me that he's got something that he can at least be a competent quarterback, whether it's a guy who can come in for an injured quarterback for a few weeks, get the team some wins, or just, you know, guide a team to a 7-win season and, you know, and be solid like that. So, yeah, I think the Browns team have, you know, Quinshon Judkins as well has been brilliant. But, yeah, for me, the Jet team is pretty bad. Next up is in Tampa Bay as the Bucs host the New England Patriots. You know, some people, if you believe the conspiracy theory around the NFL photo that was released before the season started previewing the Super Bowl, this could be the Super Bowl preview. Some people, if you know what I mean, you know what I mean with this one. But yeah, Bucks, Patriots. Steve, who wins it for you?
Now, this is one because, I mean, I have an absolute... We've talked about it before. I'm a bit of a fanboy for Baker. I genuinely just love big gunslinging quarterbacks who can just go out there and just make the game interesting and fun for a neutral to watch. And Baker is that kind of guy. But this is still a Bucks team that doesn't have a great running game because Bucky Irving's still injured. Because Godwin's still out. Mekhi Egbuka has picked up tremendously to the point where I think he's probably going to win Rookie of the Year. So it's then down to what do I think of this season's Patriots? And actually, I'm terrified by them. I'm terrified to see Patriots have a really good, not just competent, really good quarterback, a run game which is run by committee. Ramondre Stevenson isn't the greatest, and he is out this week. But Henderson, who they've brought in as a rookie, has started to show some signs of life. Their defense is solid. This is what you'd expect from a Mike Vrabel defense. And they just have that ability that Patriots teams of old have had to eke out those short wins in close games. And I feel that it's going to be a really fun game to watch. This could be one of the highest scoring games of the week because I think the Bucs are going to go ahead early. The Patriots are going to come back at them. And we're going to see a very, very close game, probably decided by a last minute field goal. So for me, it's a Patriots win in Florida, which doesn't happen often.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Well, I've gone for the Bucs to win this game. This is going to come in what I come as a shock. People might think I'm being biased or I've got an agenda, but I think the Patriots are the biggest pretenders in the entire NFL. That 7-2 is so forging, it is beyond belief. Now, don't get me wrong, May's been brilliant, May's been an MVP contender, but looking at the stats, I mean, first of all, they've not even got a top 10 defense, pass defense or run defense. So, and looking at their schedule, that's the main thing I want to touch on, the schedule itself. Let's touch on the teams they play. Now, granted, they've beaten the Bills. Fair enough, they beat them in Buffalo. Might be the last ever team to win a game in that stadium.
Hold on, we need to stop for a second. Is this just pure on AFC's bias?
No, it's not even that.
Is that all this is?
I'd be saying the same thing if it was the Commanders, if it was the Cardinals, if it was the Chargers. Let's look at this. So, yeah, they play the Bills. That's the one standout, fair enough. But look at the rest. The Raiders week one, they've only got 2 wins. Dolphins week two, they've only got 2 wins. Steelers, fair enough, they got 5 wins, but are they really a good team? Who knows? The Panthers aren't very good. The Saints have only got 1 win. The Titans have got 1 win. And that 1 win is the luckiest win in NFL history. You've got the Browns who've got 2 wins. And one of them is against one of those bad teams you just mentioned, the Dolphins. And then the Falcons who can't seem to find a win when they've got it right in front of them. So for me, look, 7-2, you beat who's in front of you. Fair enough. I'll give them that. You know, you clearly do what you've been given, and Mike Vrabel's touched on that. But I'm not sitting here saying they're a good team, or they're not a bad team, but they're not this team's going to win a Super Bowl or make the AFC Championship. I don't think personally, because they played one good team this year in the first 9 weeks. I mean, they've got, as a result of their bad season last year, they've got a really easy schedule, so that's going to help them. But you put them in a big important game against the Chiefs, against the Bills, against the Ravens if they get hot in the playoffs. I just don't think they win. I think Mike Vrabel is an excellent coach, one of the best in the league, in my opinion. I think he's really underrated. But the schedule's so easy. I remember the Dolphins did the same thing a couple of years ago. We beat up on bad teams, albeit we couldn't beat good teams, and the Patriots have beaten the Bills. But overall, it's that's one game, we beat the Bills in a one-off game in 2022. To me personally, I just don't think this Patriots team is as good as the 7-2 record suggests. Now, they're a playoff team for me. I think they're good enough to make the playoffs. But I still think, you know, when you get to, let's say, they play Baltimore week 16 in Baltimore, really hard place to go, especially down the stretch. I don't think Percy. I think Percy, for me, this team are the biggest pretenders and the biggest frauds in the NFL right now.
More so than the Colts, who you said at the start. You didn't.
Yeah, I think the Colts have given me something. You know, they've gone close against the Rams. They've beaten the Broncos, who I think are a good defense. But their schedule is nowhere near easy as this one for the Patriots. I think this is by far. I think they called it before the season started the easiest schedule in the league and the strength of schedule. And I think this is again for me a ridiculously easy schedule.
Well, I'll happily take that win because your AFC East bias is showing. So.
It's not I'd be saying the same thing if it was the Cowboys or the Rams.
Yeah. Moving on.
Well, next up is a game involving, you mentioned the Panthers just then. They're taking on at home the New Orleans Saints, which for me personally is only going to be one way. It's the Panthers for me. I think they haven't been perfect, but they showed me more than enough that they're going to beat the Saints team. Well, I think, you know, I said before the season started, they'd be my number one overall pick. And I think it might even be a bang-on prediction come the end of the season. It's them or the Jets for me who are going to have them. Or maybe even the Titans as well. They've been pretty bad. So, yeah, I think this will be a game that will decide a little bit into who has the first overall pick, whether it is the Saints or not the Saints. But yeah, give me the Panthers to win all day long.
Yeah, the Panthers this season are the very definition of any given Sunday, depending on which Panthers team shows up. Is it the ones who, you know, went out and then scored incredible wins against the likes of the Cowboys? Which, by the way, because we were in London that week for the game, we went to watch Passyunk Avenue, and I got to watch with a bunch of Cowboys fans who were sitting there super confident when they were ahead, only for Rico Dowdle to just rip their hearts out right in front of me. And it was beautiful to watch. But again, that Panthers 1-2 of Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard. Rico Dowdle's been amazing. Chuba Hubbard was injured. Now they're back and they're trying to run it by committee. Actually, to have two really good running backs at the same time for any team, it's terrifying for a defense, particularly a really bad defense like the Saints, who just, I don't know if Tyler Shuck is that guy at quarterback. I know Spencer Rattler definitely wasn't, but they are, I mean, they've got so many people who are kind of injured or, you know, questionable for this game. Whereas the Panthers, with the exception of Tep McMillan, seem to be pretty much at full strength. I can't see anything other than a Panthers win here. And I can see it by quite a significant amount. This could be one of the blowouts of the week.
Well, yeah, that could be easily the case. Next up is a game which has a little bit of a, it's been a little bit ruined by injury. We've got the Houston Texans hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Stroud out for this game with a horrific injury suffered last week. That was an awful hit to the head. One that makes you sort of wince when you watch it on TV. So for me, I'm going for the Jags to win this game. I just think personally, if Stroud was healthy, I mean, they beat the Ravens. No, who did they beat recently? They beat someone good. And I was thinking, okay, if they show me that they can still win games like this. But without Stroud, I think there's no way they win this game. So give me the Jags over the Texans.
So this is a quarterback thing for me. It's basically, is Trevor Lawrence better than Davis Mills? Well, the answer to that question is yes. But then I look at the weapons that the two of them have got. Trevor Lawrence really only has two weapons, Travis Hunter and Brian Thomas Jr., and both of them are injured this week. Hunter obviously on IR for the next 3 to 4 weeks. C.J. Stroud might be out, but the guys he's throwing to, still there. The run game, still there. Nick Chubb actually having a much better season this year than I thought he would have. I actually thought after that Cleveland injury, we'd never see this kind of level of play from him again. But Texans run game, it's pretty legitimate. So this is only going to come down to me to whether or not Travis Etienne shows up. He's been hot and cold this year, and friends of mine who are Jags fans have been kind of, because he's in his contract year, and they've generally been wondering whether or not the franchise is going to extend him. I think games like this are the ones that will help them make the decision. If he pops off in this game, I think the Jaguars can win. If he has another poor game like he's had several times this season, it's a Texans win. And on the balance of things, I think I just have to take the Texans to edge it. I just feel like there's more fit weapons there, and there's a more kind of, whilst CJ Stroud is out and they do have quite a few injuries, I do feel as though they have the better overall team. And I think Trevor Lawrence has been very inconsistent this year. And without his best weapons, I can't see him really doing much.
Okay, so that's so far our third different prediction of the episode. So next up, we've got a game involving the Seattle Seahawks, who host the Arizona Cardinals. Now, before I go on to get onto this game, of course, the Cardinals played on Monday Night Football against Dallas Cowboys. And this was a game that saw Marshall Neyland make a great play. And he ended up scoring his first career touchdown. And obviously, what happens, I think we all know what happened since then. He has passed away, sadly, at the age of 24. So I just want to quickly pay my tributes to his family, to him, and sort of send my condolences to his family, his friends, and all of the Cowboys organization. It's been a testing week for this organization. But no, the Cardinals take on the Seahawks. It's in Seattle as well. Steve, who wins this for you?
Yeah, I just want to continue what you're saying there about Neyland. Even as an Eagles fan, divisional rivalries go out the window for this. You know, when your young player loses his life, regardless of how he passed away, it's always tragic. So yeah, sympathies to both the family and to the entire Cowboys organization for that one. But going back to the game, the Cardinals. Oh my God, they're bad. They're like, I had so many hopes for these guys preseason. I thought Marvin Harrison was going to have a breakout year. I thought we were going to see the best of Kyler. I thought it was in Trey McBride. They have arguably one of the top two, if not the best wide tight end in the league. But, oh, my God, they've been terrible. And supposedly, I think Kyler's up again this week, isn't he?
Yes, I think he's on injury reserve, I think.
Is he on IR now? Oh, yeah. So, you know, with a backup quarterback against the Seahawks side, who are just, they're riding that wave. I can see Cooper Kupp's questionable, but even if Cooper Kupp and Torrey Horton, who are both questionable, don't make it, you still have JSN there. You still have a run game, which is better than I anticipated it would be this week. Both Walker and Charbonnet have, they're both fighting for that kind of like number one role next season. So it's by committee, but at the same time, Charbonnet gets the goal line work, Walker gets the open field stuff. It's a great combination, a great 1-2. Seahawks, very competitive in the division this year. Very possibly, and I didn't think Sam Darnold would be able to do the same thing at two different teams. I was wrong. Didn't think he'd pull it out. But I think the Seahawks, good, great contenders for that division this year. And I don't think they want to lose this if it might put them a game back. I think there's a little bit of extra kind of push on their side for this. It's a Seahawks win.
I agree. Seahawks all day long. And the Cardinals are, again, one of those teams, you mentioned it with the Falcons, you just can't ever bet on because they're just so unpredictable. And the Seahawks, for me, I can't recall a team who's had two losses by week 10 being talked about as little as the Seahawks. I think every aspect of the game they're excelling in. Defense, they got one of the best receivers in the league this year in Smith and Jigba. You've got, you know, a fairly solid running back room. Sam Darnold is, you know, performing really well. And, you know, I thought it'd be a one-hit wonder. I thought it'd be a, you know, hit lining in the bottle, playing under Kevin O'Connell, makes anyone look good sort of thing. But he's been really good. Been really good. And they, on a Monday night game, I thought they completely outperformed the Commanders. It was really, really impressive performance. And I think, you know, I think definitely they should be a team that should be seen as a dark horse to win the NFC. I don't think they will. I don't think they will because I think Sam Darnold still hasn't done it in a playoff game for me or in when it matters in a big game. But so far this season, he's been really good and the same things last year. Now, what I would give to have a Seahawks-Colts Super Bowl because you'd have two quarterbacks there in Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold who completely have shown everyone how you can turn your career around when you don't, you know, when you don't perform well with one team. And also, it would be a great advertisement for don't play in New York. for me, yeah, Seahawks win this all day long. But next up, I think, could be one of the games of the week as the 49ers host the Rams in a NFC West battle in the Shanahan Tree Bowl. And I think they're going to go for the Niners purely because in the regular season, Shanahan has McVay's number. Now, McVay has beaten Shanahan when it matters in the playoffs, but I think in this game, I think the Niners, you know, they won in SoFi. And, you know, Rams are a better team. For me, the Rams are a better team. The Rams will go further in the playoffs. They've got better quarterback. They've got better offensive weapons. Defense is just as good, if not better. And they're more durable players than the Niners team have right now. But I just think Kyle Shanahan, in regular season games, in division rivalry games, has McVay's number. So I'm going to give the Niners the win on this one.
Okay, well, I'm going to oppose you on that one. I'm going to go for the Rams. I'm going to go for the Rams on the basis that this is a very banged-up looking Niners team. Not only is Mac Jones under center, you know, but they're running, you know, there's no Ricky Pearsall yet, and he's still out. I'm not sure he's going to be back this season. There's a lot of kind of rumors going about that the injury that he's supposedly had, which is only going to keep him out for a short period of time, could be a lot worse than people predicted. You know, Michael Williams is out, Brock Purdy's out. There, you just look at the injury report, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's like 8 players sitting here on questionable for the Niners this week. And so even if those guys play, they're going to be banged up, not going to be 100%. The Rams, however, 100%, full strength, ready to rock. They've looked impressive in the last few weeks. I really like their defense. I said last season when we did the offseason that their defense was the one that gave us the most problems of any team on the way to the Super Bowl. Offensively, with Stafford under center, you know, you always have a chance. You've got some really good wide receivers there. Puka Nacua, you know, again, having a top 5 season. No reason for me to think that Rams team is going to lose this game. It is divisional, so those are always the tightest. And this could be one of the games that decides who wins that division. But for me, This is a Rams win.
I'm going to make a point here that I don't know whether that will change your mind, but the last time they played this season, the Niners were also banged up at that point, and they still beat them with Mac Jones, without Kittle, and they got Kittle back now as well. They beat them without Nick Bosa, without many of the players. So I think, yeah, I think even they're the one team I think could have injuries and still win a Super Bowl. They're the one team I think could, you know, they can win games despite of injury. Some teams, you get one injury, your season's done. You know, we lost two, who for me is an average quarterback, and we look way worse when he wasn't there. But the Niners can lose their starting quarterback. They can lose their top tight end. They can lose their best defensive player, you could argue, and they still end up winning. So for me, this Niners team, I think, is the one team that I wouldn't really bet against. They're the one team I wouldn't really, if I'm ever going to bet, I would never bet on the Niners to lose, because they can just win games with Kyle Shanahan there. Now, I question his big game CV, but in a regular season, there's not many better than Kyle Shanahan. So yeah, for me, give me the Niners to win. Now, we are short of time, so we're going to have a quick last 5 minutes. We're going to quickly run through two games before we then go on to the final game, which does involve Steve's team, the Eagles. First up, we got the Lions taking on the Commanders in Washington and the Steelers taking on the Chargers in LA. I'm going to go for wins for the Lions and the Steelers. I think the Lions are a better team anyway, even with Daniels. And they would like to have a little bit of revenge on what happened last year in the playoffs. But yeah, I think without Daniels there, and without a lot of that, without McLaurin, without Eckler, this is probably the easiest one to call of the whole week. And then Steelers, Chargers, if they had Joe Alt, I'd back the Chargers a lot more. But without Joe Alt, I think it's a big miss. So give me the Steelers to get a win. Steve, who wins it for you, those two games?
No, I agree with you on the Lions-Commanders game. The Commanders have looked really poor the last couple of games. Even with Daniels back, they didn't look the same kind of quality of team. I think they're just, there's something that had a hangover there. That field is just, it's cursed. And I think without Daniels, they do not look the same team with Mariota under centre. So yeah, Lions to win. I'm going to go against you on the other one, Steelers-Chargers. I just feel like right now the connection between Justin Herbert and his receivers is probably one of the best in the league. When they need a big play, they can pull it out. I love their run game. Even with Amari and Hampton down, I still think they just, every time the Chargers go next man up, it just seems to be that guy. It's a horrible offense. For me, it's going to be tight, it's going to be close, but that's a Chargers win.
Okay, well, finally, we've got, you can say the game of the week, and some people could easily argue this could be the NFC Championship preview. It's in Lambeau Field, as the Packers host the current reigning champions in the Eagles, which, of course, if you aren't already aware, is Steve's team. And we'll go to you first, as is your team involved. Who wins this game for you, Steve?
The Eagles. Did you expect a different answer?
Absolutely not.
it's a combination of things. I think it's the whole coming off a bye week, which is really important. But it's who's coming back after that bye week. We have 7 first-teamers who are either injured or have come back. Brandon Graham will be playing his first game after signing a new contract. You know, that revitalized the defense. Howie went and did Howie things during the window. Drafted, brought in 3 new players. That will give us cover, depth, and confidence in all those positions. It will help our pass rush, which hasn't been great this season. Plus, you know, we have a little bit of extra bite after the whole Packers trying to ban the tush push thing at the start of the season. The Eagles will go in there motivated like they haven't been all season. And I think the opportunity to kind of not just beat the Packers, but damage them both in their divisional chances and their chance of making the playoffs, it's too much motivation for that Eagles team not to go in there and win.
See, I found this one literally the hardest one to call, because I think both teams have legit claims to win this game. I think the Eagles I think both teams have had their lows and highs this year. I think, you know, both teams have shown their flaws. We've seen times where AJ Brown doesn't get any targets. We've seen the Packers lose games they shouldn't lose to the Browns and the Packers. Sorry, the Browns and the Panthers, which is amazing. That's their 2 losses. They're two really bad teams. But I'm going for one basis only, and this is really weird. I think with how the season's going so far this year, teams seem to find ways. There's no real clear best team in the league right now. I think all teams have, you know, found ways to win and lose games. But for me personally, there's one team who's just won a game, and there's one team who will be eager to make amends after losing a game. So on that basis only, I'm going for the Packers to win purely because they'll be really eager to make up for, you know, make up for how, you know, how it was last week. Micah Parsons knows the Eagles really well from his time in Dallas as well. And yeah, for me, this is probably the one I'm going to get the most wrong. If there's any game of the all I'm going to get wrong, probably it's going to be this one. I would not be shocked in the slightest if the Eagles go out and win the game, especially in the financial field at home. I do feel like personally this is one that I could easily be wrong. It's a real coin flip game for me. I think both teams are really good teams. I think if it's not them two, you know, at least in the divisional round, I'll be shocked personally. So yeah, I'll go for the Packers to win, but it's very much one of ones where I could be left as massive egg on my face.
I think but, their big loss from last week when Tucker Kraft went out onto IR. I think that was one of their standouts from last year, that from the season. And when you take away weapons like that, who, you know, they were really where the Packers going to go to players. I just don't think Jordan Love has the weapons to beat that Eagles secondary. And the Eagles secondary has not been great this season, but that was just that was that one kind of deciding factor that would have made me 50-50 on this game. I don't think without Tucker Kraft, they have the same kind of quality and Luke Musgrave at tight end. So.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I'm probably going to be massively wrong here. Of course, I'll be keeping a keen eye because, of course, one of my team's players, a player that I used to love, Jaden Phillips, is going to be making his debut. Interestingly, no bye week for him this year. Unless they give him a week off, he's going to have no bye week this year due to already had a bye week in Philadelphia and the Dolphins yet to have one. So interesting to see how he plays. Some interesting social media activity from him. Not really much of a post about leaving the Dolphins, but hey-ho, that's for another day. But we, in total, we've gone for six different predictions differently. So we've both gone for wins for the Colts, Bears, Bills, Browns, Panthers, Seahawks and Lions, whereas I've gone for wins for the Ravens, Bucks, Jags, Niners, Steelers and Packers, whereas Steve has gone for wins for the Vikings, the Pats, the Texans, the Rams, the Chargers and the Eagles. But there we are. That is the end of our Week 10 preview. Steve, once again, huge thanks for coming on today.
No, thanks for having me. It's always fun to do these. And yeah, it's always fun to kind of talk about how bad the Dolphins are. So
that could be literally any year of the last 25 years we could
have been talking about. I could have also talked about how bad the Cowboys were, but obviously this is not the week to do that. Maybe some other week I would have picked that fight, but no.
But there we are. That is our Week 10 preview with, as ever, your host today, Andy Davis, on the Across the Pod podcast with our guest today in Eagles fan, Steve McGinnis. And we'll see you guys next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.